Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And that's driven deep to left center field. Gardner is going back. Look at him. See you later.
That was last Saturday when the Houston Astros clinched the ALCS championship. The Astros are currently down 2-0 against the Washington Nationals in the World Series, but that's not the extent of the team's troubles. They're also getting a lot of unwanted attention for an ugly incident off the field, and it centers on pitcher Roberto Osuna. As we've covered on the show last year, Osuna was traded to Houston after being suspended for 75 games after violating Major League Baseball's domestic violence policy. According to Sports Illustrated reporter Stephanie Apstein, last weekend, while celebrating their championship win at their clubhouse, Astros assistant general manager Brandon Taubman turned to three female reporters, one who was wearing a domestic violence awareness bracelet, and yelled a profanity-laced rant supporting Osuna at least a dozen times. Taubman and the Astros originally denied the report, but Taubman and team owner Jim Crane have now apologized for the comments. Trenny Kuznarek, who knows what it's like to be a woman reporting on the MLB, has been following the story. She's a host and reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Trenny, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So set the stage for us. What's the atmosphere like in a locker room after a big win? And how do women reporters generally fit into that mix?
After a team wins a game like the Astros did last Saturday, clinching a series win over the Yankees to advance to the World Series, it's bedlam. It is champagne popping, beer being sprayed everywhere. Many of us who've covered baseball for a long time actually have a kit that we call a clinch kit. Shoes, we don't care if they get soaked in champagne and beer, goggles, a raincoat to keep everything else underneath you dry because it becomes this huge party. And all of the interviews that are conducted in there are usually with loud music playing and a lot of people gathered around. So it's a pretty raucous party-like atmosphere. And rarely do we see, though, something like what happened with Brandon Taubman happen in that celebratory atmosphere.
Is it your sense that Taubman was trying to send a message to these reporters, given the fact that it was so rare? I mean, why do you think he singled out these reporters? And of course, I know you weren't there, but just based on your experience and the fact that, as you say, it's not so common.
Yeah, I think that he did it because he had a problem with one specific reporter in Houston. NPR's own David Folkenflik had a great report yesterday that he spoke with multiple witnesses who were in the clubhouse and in Major League Baseball that said that Brandon Taubman has had issues with this reporter, the one who is wearing the purple domestic violence bracelet. She had been tweeting often when Roberto Osuna was on the mound. Every time that he would get a win or get a save, she would remind people that he brutally beat his fiance and the mother of his child and was suspended 75 games, and that the Astros were the only team to look the other way and still sign him last year. So when he would have a good outing, she would tweet out something about domestic violence, where you can get help, and domestic violence hotline numbers. This apparently angered Taubman to the point where he made comments about it, had complained about her tweets to certain people, and then on Saturday directed his expletive-laden tirade at these three female reporters who were standing together in the clubhouse.
So as you mentioned, the domestic violence incident that Osuna was a part of was very serious. He was suspended for 75 games, and yet the Astros still signed him. Why is he considered such an integral part of the Astros team? I mean, is that part of what makes Taubman continue to praise him, other than, you know, just the frustration that he has with this singular reporter?
Yes, I think so, because a closer is the last line of defense for a team winning a game. If, for instance, in that game, the Astros were clinging to a 2-run lead against the New York Yankees, Roberto Osuna, you count on him to come in and get the outs necessary to win the game. Ironically, in that game, he actually gave up a 2-run home run to DJ LeMahieu, which tied the game and forced the Astros to have to win it in the bottom of the ninth. So Osuna didn't even have a good outing the night that Taubman decided to, you know, attack these female reporters, or at least verbally attack these female reporters. But it should be noted that not all teams were willing to do this. The Los Angeles Dodgers actually at the time had a trade in place with the Toronto Blue Jays for Roberto Osuna, and the Dodgers lacked last year when the Astros traded for him were also in the thick of things. They ended up winning the National League last year and losing to the Red Sox in the World Series. And when the domestic violence allegations came out and the suspension was handed down, they said, thank you, but no thank you. We do not want to take on a player who has this kind of past. So not every team did what the Astros did. There were other teams that desperately needed bullpen help, that desperately needed a closer like the Dodgers did last year, that said, it's not worth it.
I'm wondering also to that point, I mean, you know, we often hear a lot about players, particularly in the NFL, for example, who are punished for their political views, but not so much for their personal, just indiscretions, whether that be domestic violence or other activities. And I'm wondering if the MLB also has players with a history of domestic violence still on the field, like Osuna.
Absolutely. You know, they have a punishment system in place, much like the NFL, where if you have a domestic violence incident, it is reviewed by Major League Baseball. They decide the appropriate punishment. You are suspended for, you know, X amount of games, but then you can return to the team. Unfortunately, these suspensions don't affect them in the postseason, which is the most important time of the year. And while obviously it can hurt your team to lose a closer and an integral part to your team for 75 games during the regular season, if you can withstand that time and withstand that schedule and make it to the postseason, it's like trading for a player right before you get to your biggest part of your season. All of the leagues, I think, have tried to address domestic violence. I would say that none have fully succeeded at it. It's all very subjective. Personally, I think Major League Baseball has done a better job of handing down punishments more swiftly and more sternly than the NFL and with more consistency. But both leagues have issues. I mean, again, here's a guy, Roberto Osuna. I know people who played for the Toronto Blue Jays when this incident happened in Toronto, and they said that the clubhouse was sickened by the details, that no one wanted to be near Roberto Osuna, that they knew what a terrible person he was and what he did to his wife. And the Blue Jays, as good as he was during a rebuilding effort and someone that could maybe help their team compete in the American League East, they didn't want anything to do with him because many of the guys in that clubhouse wanted nothing to do with him. And it should be noted that when the Astros traded for Roberto Osuna, Justin Verlander, one of the best pitchers on the Astros, was not necessarily happy about it. He didn't come out and say, I wish we wouldn't have done it, but he certainly didn't have anything nice to say about acquiring a player that did something like that.
Does Taubman face any disciplinary action for his comments in the locker room?
So as of right now, he has not. Major League Baseball is investigating the incident. I'm not sure what will come of it. But based on the multiple reports and the fact that Sports Illustrated had a number of people who corroborated Stephanie's column, Jeff Passan from ESPN had others who also chimed in. And then you had David Folkenflik from NPR who went a step further and I think had four more sources on the record corroborating what happened in the clubhouse. I think it would be hard for Major League Baseball to not do something. I will say this, it has hurt Taubman. Nationally, the Red Sox actually have an open general manager position, and he was a name that had been bantered around a lot. And now the thinking is that the Red Sox won't touch this guy because who wants to bring in a guy who has this kind of past and may do the same thing in your clubhouse? And you just don't want the bad publicity and the bad media with it.
Treni Kuznarek is host and reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Treni, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's our show for today. You can always follow us on Twitter at The Takeaway. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.